What I wanted to do, and I'm going to start here, I wanted to, and what happened a couple of Thursdays, two Thursdays ago, I believe now, I had been sitting, actually, it was Wednesday morning, and I was sitting here, and my sitting is so beautiful. See, and I was sitting there thinking, why are people still struggling? Why is this? And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. See, I have a very clear vision of my inner world as I begin to do my Zazen. And then somehow it drifted through. The old Dzogchen masters will say that the student should meet with the teacher to receive the right view. And that's in all of the teaching, all of it. And during that course, I remembered that when I sat with Kori Roshi, almost every sitting period was working on that. See, and for some reason I had never thought about that. Because if you're sitting there struggling with what you think you should be doing, see, so what I did the first Thursday was during Fusatsu, and then we forgot to get somebody to talk for Thursday evening. But through Fusatsu, some of you who were here, you know that we sort of went through that. See, and I started to describe what my inner world was like. And this isn't me pushing an agenda. It's all of the old masters will describe essentially the same thing when they talk about right view. See, there aren't a lot of different views. There are different streams, and when I get to the body of this talk today, all of these streams may be couched, see, in cultural differences, language, see, differences. But ultimately, if you move beyond that, it becomes a very simple thing. If you cannot forget the self, you will never experience the wonder of what you are. You will stay trapped in the narrow little confines of the egocentric self. Oh, you may consider yourself a brilliant, compassionate person, but you will always cause pain and suffering. Guaranteed. And we're in our center now. We have had, and every year we have it, we have some people who are very, very ill. See, but again, it's too late. If you put off what this most amazing thing is, see, as Roshi said in the last year of his life, he repeated it a number of times to me. And he would hold his hands out like this in the Doksan room. And he said, it's okay if they don't get it, Nyogen. He said, they are still safely in the hands of the Buddha. And if you understand that from just a purely intellectual perspective, see, you're going to think that there is a guy sitting there with a big beard and he's holding you in his hands. No. What Roshi was saying, this most amazing thing that you are, see, you can never leave it. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can live in hell realms. Look at the government around you and realize smart guys put this here. Look at the world, the conditions of it. See, smart guys put that there. Interestingly enough, it is smart guys. It's not the dummies that did it. It's the smart guys. As Roshi said to me once when I was struggling with my practice and stuff, and he said one of the weaknesses, and he wasn't referring to me, he considered me one of the dumb guys. See, so I was kind of harmless and innocent. But he said, the smarter people, he said, the problem for them is that they can just think up more ways to screw up their practice. And that's literally true. You come in with all your fancy ideas. See, and I told people Thursday night, I don't anticipate, see, many of the people changing and having the daring to try to follow what I was describing. Some people can't do it. Some people can't do it. Now, there are some folks that do follow. And I have had, from the second time, I have had very positive responses. I've had somebody ask me, Nyogen, you should start every session with this. Because if you can begin to see what it is that you hold, what I mean hold, what you keep in this concentrated mind, and if you continuously relax and release into it, and I described this, we went through this, see, and I will continue to do it. It takes quite a while because I really want you to begin to see. And what you will experience, when the old master Eckhart said, become an empty vessel, most people don't get what that means. But if you really follow these steps, and the steps are very simple, see, you will begin to experience what it means to become an empty vessel. Then what happens is you begin at some point, and all you do, you're releasing all of the struggle. There will be a struggle. And when we then move into the counting, see, there will be a struggle, but you release, and you're holding, see, with a particular vision. See, and this is how I start all my sittings. This is the way I was trained to sit. See, and then all of a sudden, there's less struggle, and you'll be able to hold the count. See, and not in a neurotic way, but all of a sudden, you will be aware of it. You are your own monitor, see, that the count is there, that you are not falling asleep, not being distracted. You're simply staying with the count. Once you do that, then you drop into the breathing, just the breathing. And at a certain point, you will then know what the old masters say when they say, it's like vast, empty space. That's the experience you'll have. See, and again, when that begins to open, you relax and you release. You relax and you release. And that at a certain point, and along the way, as you begin to settle into that, see, you begin to feel good. The sitting itself becomes rich. And then, literally, you will experience the energy of the spirit will simply begin to pull you deeper and deeper and deeper. The breathing slows down. See, I forgot about that. Somebody came in a week ago and asked me, and I probably shouldn't say it, but see, Senyogan, when you reach the point where the breathing stops, what do I do? See, this is a person who simply follows the instructions. See, because their own way hasn't worked. See, what do I do there? Again, it's the same thing. Relax and release. All of the old teachings. And instead of sitting there trying to produce an experience, see, the point, see, is to stop producing. One of the titles for a Buddha is one who doesn't strive. Misinterpret that and you practice Buji Zen. Oh, it's just every day, just my life. That's only half right. And that, by the way, is one of the koans, see, where a monk gets it. See, anybody in here who's been sitting here for any length of time should know, see, that it's just your life. Yes, Roshi would say that, but do you know what your life is? The fact of the matter is we don't, and you can't guess at it. See, but more and more, Shikan, I mentioned the other night, a book that he's looking at, and I asked him when he came in this morning, does he like it? See, mind beyond brain, right? See, he likes it. And again, Buddhism is there, and science is there, the paranormal is there. It's all mind. Your conditioning, watch what you reject. Your conditioning, you are conditioned to think in certain acceptable patterns to your egocentric mind. And then ask yourself, do you live a joyful, compassionate life, a joyful life? You say, well, Nyogen, there's up and down. The followers of Buji Zen, that's what they, yeah, it's just your life. If you're in shit, you're in shit. If you're not, you learn how to work. No, that isn't what the great Hongzhi says. He said, if you can do this, you frolic in a samadhi of bliss forever. See, quite profound.